So Jonah runs from God, and then God runs after Jonah. That's what's going on. Friends, if God loved Jonah less, he would have just let him go. But the fact that God pursues Jonah with this storm proves how much God loves him. God is unrelenting in his grace for undeserving people.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're joining us today in our series in Jonah. Now, Pastor Philip, we're talking about God's amazing, his unrelenting grace today. We have a lot to say about grace in this passage, yes?
Yeah, Jonah's running from God, right? That's from the get-go. That's what he's been doing. He's going as far as he can from the presence of the Lord. He wants nothing to do with God or his assignment or his mission to the Assyrian people. And so Jonah's thrown in the towel, and he's like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm just going to leave. I'm turning in my resignation. I'll go as far as I can. Forget you, God. And any other God would have said, fine, I'll get my own prophet. I'll get another prophet. I don't need you, you know, but that's not our God.
Amen.
And our God, in his grace and mercy, he sends a storm as a wake-up call to pull Jonah back from the brink and say, you know what? I know you don't want me right now, but I'm going to pursue you in love, and I'm not going to let you go, Jonah. I love you too much. And I think that's a beautiful picture of God's unrelenting grace for undeserving people, because we all need that. Mm-hmm. We've all run from God. We all need grace. And we all need to know that we have a God who will never give up on us, no matter how far we run, no matter how obstinate we get, that our God is a God who comes after us. And that's the beautiful message that Jonah has for us today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover just how relentless God's grace actually is. Now, this is part three of the sermon, Running from God. Grab your Bibles. We're in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6.
See, I'm afraid we're more like Jonah than we realize. Running from God isn't just an ancient problem. It's our problem as well. So we have an uncomfortable call here, an unexpected flight, and now unrelenting grace, unrelenting grace. I love how this story unfurls. Any other God would have been done with Jonah, right? Just written him off, moved on. I can get another prophet, but not our God. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest upon the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we might not perish. I love this. The Lord hurls a great wind like a javelin, and it hits its mark, stirring up a mighty tempest. It shivers the timbers of the ship. And again, the Lord, it's the capital L-O-R-D who throws this storm. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God who keeps his promises to 1,000 generations, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and quick to relent from calamity, who is faithful when we are faithless. Friends, Jonah may have given up on God, but God never gave up on Jonah. Amen? So Jonah runs from God, and then God runs after Jonah. That's what's going on. Friends, if God loved Jonah less, he would have just let him go. But the fact that God pursues Jonah with this storm proves how much God loves him. God is unrelenting in his grace for undeserving people. Don't you see that? Not just Ninevites, but Jonah's as well. This storm is designed to stop Jonah in his tracks. It's a warning shot. It's a call to repentance. Jonah is to cry out for mercy and come home to God. It's a wake-up call. And where's Jonah? Snoozing, sleeping below deck. So above deck, you've got the soldiers. They're hurling the cargo. God hurls the storm. They're hurling the cargo. You see that? Everyone is crying out to their gods. Everyone, that is, except for one guy, Jonah, the prophet of the Lord, who is not on speaking terms with God. He's not praying. He's dead asleep. How can he sleep at a time like this? Well, my guess is he's in the grips of guilty despair. Have you ever felt despair that just made you want to stay in bed? He's thrown everything in his life away, hasn't he? His life is over. He's sulking himself to sleep. I think that's what's going on. And then the captain comes down, probably to get more cargo, to see if there's anything else he can throw overboard, and he finds Jonah down in the hold. What do you mean, you sleeper? It's not a compliment. Arise. Same word God used in verse 2. Arise. Call out. What is Jonah to do in Nineveh? Call out. Arise. Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. See, the captain of this pagan captain of this ship sees this is no ordinary storm. He perceives that the gods must be angry. The tide of judgment has come in, and it's time to throw ourselves on the mercy of the God, whoever he may be. There's not a lot of hope in this statement, of the captain's statement. It's a desperate gamble. That somewhere, someplace, anywhere, there just might be an ounce of mercy in the universe if we could just find it. But Jonah knows better. You see this? Jonah knows better. He knows there's mercy and grace in the universe. He knows there's a gracious God who's merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and rich in mercy, who will relent from disaster. Jonah knows he can turn and find mercy at any given moment if he would just turn around, but he doesn't. His pride won't let him. He doesn't pray, he doesn't repent, he doesn't cry out for mercy. You see, in his heart, he's still running. He's still running from God. So he follows the captain up above the deck as the storm rages and continues to thrash the ship to the point where it almost breaks apart. And that's where our story ends for today. You'll have to stay tuned for next time. But I just want to share with you three takeaways as we drive this home. First of all, running from God is normal and nuts. Running from God is normal and nuts. Each of us, in our own way, run from God, don't we? God gives us his instructions in his word. He gives us good counsel through mentors and friends. He speaks to our conscience. He gives us the Holy Spirit to direct us in his ways. And yet none of us fully obey God in every aspect of our lives, do we? We're more like Jonah than we care to admit. We don't want God telling us what to do. We don't want to lay down our self-identities in order to be faithful to God. We don't want to see God's mercy go to our enemies, those people who are ruining our world. Friends, running from God is normal. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody does it. And running from God is nuts. It doesn't make any sense. It cannot be done. Even in the middle of the sea, there is nowhere you can go from the presence of the Lord God. He sees all, he knows all, he is always near. Secondly, God may send a storm to wake you up. God may send a storm to wake you up. If you're running from God, he may send a storm to get your attention. My own experience is that when I run from God, life tends to get stormy. The winds of life batter me because I'm living cross-grained to the universe as God designed it. And so misery is our companion as long as we run. And God sends storms to chase us down, to wake us up. And maybe you're here this morning, or you're watching online or listening. And maybe there's a storm in your life. Maybe there's marriage problems or an addiction or a crisis in your life, and you're trying to sleep through it and ignore the storm and close your eyes and go numb and pretend it isn't happening. But my question for you is this: could it be that God is calling out to you in the middle of that storm? Could it be the storm is designed to wake you up, to bring you to your senses so that you might cry out for mercy and come home to him? Because, friends, third, God will never stop pursuing you. God will never stop pursuing you. Now, that sounds negative or positive depending on how you receive it, right? If you're intent on avoiding God at all costs, the fact that he'll never stop pursuing you sounds like a threat. You can run, but you can't hide. And that's true. But on the flip side, it means no matter what happens, you can never outrun God. That's a huge positive, because no matter how far you run, friends, his grace runs further. No matter how much you sin, his forgiveness is greater. No matter how undeserving you become, his mercy is more. Remember the captain's statement? Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we might not perish. Just blind hope, gambling on mercy being out there somewhere in the universe. But friends, you and I don't have to gamble, do we? We don't have to gamble, because we know that God so loved the world that he gave not just a thought, but he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. See, friends, Jesus is the Jonah who should have been. When our evil came up before God, Jesus arose, and he crossed over space and time into our sin-cursed world with the message of salvation. And he loved his enemies. He didn't run away from his enemies. He ran toward his enemies, the people who were ruining everything good in this universe, in this world. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And on the cross, Jesus died in our place and for our sake, bearing all of our sin and shame, and rose again to make us right with God now and forever as children of God, adopted into his family forever. Don't you see that Jesus is proof positive that God will never stop pursuing you, that God is unrelenting in his grace for undeserving people, that if we would just admit that we are sinners far from God, believe that Jesus has done everything to make us right with God, and commit ourselves to him, saying, be my Savior, be my Lord, be my everything. Even today, we can come home in the grace and mercy of God. All we have to do is do what Jonah was too proud to do. Cry out for mercy in the middle of the storm. That no matter how far you've run, it's just one quick turn and you're home. No matter how far you've run, it's just one quick turn and you're home. Because God is running after you. Friends, this is the beautiful reality of the gospel. God knows you completely. He loves you utterly. And in Jesus Christ, he has forgiven you entirely. And all you have to do is turn around, cry out for mercy, and you'll be home. This is God's unrelenting grace for undeserving people. Amen? Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you've joined us today as we dig deeper into what do we do when we're faced with the storms of life. What a relevant topic we have today. So our listeners are sitting there and they're saying, you know, I got all kinds of hardship in my life. My job is tough. My relationships are tough. I can't balance my checkbook. I don't have enough money at the end of the month. But I need some discernment here. Huh. Am I under God's judgment, or is this just how life is? How do I know the difference?
Yeah. How do you know if God's trying to get your attention, right? Yeah. So I think one of the things we need to recognize is the world is a broken place. So there's a lot of pain, hardship, suffering. All of that stuff is normative. It's like we all bear a certain amount of just angst and difficulty and suffering in life. And so some of that is relatively generic, but even that is meant to get our attention. It's meant to show us that something's wrong in this world. And it's meant to send us to the Lord to cry out for his mercy and his grace. So all of that has a function, if we will let it, of not just try to, you know, buck up and bear it on our own, but also to like turn to the Lord and ask for his mercy and grace. So I think all of those hard things in life have that function of helping turn us to the Lord. But then sometimes there's, like Jonah's experiencing, there's a one-to-one correlation between the choices he's making and the storm he's experiencing, right? And I think when those things happen in our life, and they can happen. There's been seasons when I was wrestling with God and not wanting to yield to what he was calling me to do, and he wouldn't give me peace. And you know, things got choppy for a little bit, and they were wake-up calls in hindsight. I go, wait a minute, God was trying to get my attention. He was trying to help me see things that I wasn't ready to see, you know? And so I think there are times when there is a one-to-one correlation. And I think the best thing to do in any circumstance, when hardship or difficult things or the storms come into our life, is to just sit there humbly before the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to learn? What everything in life has been filtered through his loving hands. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then I know that all things are going to work together for the good of those who love him. So that means this ultimately is not meant for my destruction or punishment, or it's not a punitive thing I'm enduring, but he may be disciplining me. He may be purifying me. He may be trying to teach me something. And so I think the faster I can get to the point where I just kneel before the Lord and say humbly, you know, lead me, guide me. What do you want me to learn through this? I want to confess everything that I can. I want to be clean before the Lord. I think that's the right move. And in some cases where we've been hard-heartedly refusing the Lord, that's going to take some serious confrontation with those realities as we come home to the fact that we've not been following him. And that's what Jonah's being brought to the point here where he's finally going to have to deal with this. He can't run forever. He's got to deal with what he's done, and the pattern of choices he's making. And again, we have to remember, this is the love of God. He loves us enough. He won't let us go. And even though it's again, confronting our will, but it's for our good. It's not good for us when we run, when we do our own thing and we refuse to follow the Lord. It's his grace that's pursuing us and won't give us rest until we find our rest in him.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're talking about the storms of life. And Pastor Philip, you're absolutely right. Sometimes God uses those difficult situations to shape us and to mold us. And sometimes we just need to get on our knees and just say, you know what? These are the consequences of my disobedience that I'm facing. But I know that can be hard. I mean, sometimes we get really far away from God with our disobedience. It happens in these little increments, but no matter how far we get away, all we really need to do is that immediate response to stop and turn. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of the amazing things about grace and about the gospel is no matter how many steps you've taken away from God, it's just one step to come home.
Amen.
And the reality is confession and repentance is it's the hardest thing. You've got to die, you know? And it's just laying it all down. It costs a tremendous amount of pride and surrender. But we have to come to that point where we just say, you know what, God, I've been running my own life, doing my own thing. I've been hard-headed, running my own way, and it is not working. All that I have is misery to show for it. And you've been pursuing me all this time, and I'm done. I'm done. I'm done running. I'm going to call it like it is. I'm going to agree with you. That's what confession means, agreement. I'm going to agree with you. This is sin. This is rebellion. I've been running. I've been trying to do my own thing. I'm just going to call it what it is. I'm going to get honest before you. Mm. And I want to come home if you'll have me, you know, and just to throw yourself on the mercies of God. And what's beautiful, right, is every time we see that happen in the scriptures, God is so quick to just, he runs toward us, right? The prodigal son, when he comes to himself, he says, I'd be better off as a slave in my father's house. What am I doing? And he gets up and he comes home. He can barely get his confession out. And the father is like, here's a robe and a ring and a fatted calf. And like, we're having a party because this son of mine was lost. He's found. He was dead and he's alive. And we're celebrating, right?
Yes.
That's the heart of our God. And so that's the turn. That's the turn all of us need to make. That's how we come home.
Yeah, it's a spiritual wake-up call. Yes.
It is.
For all of us.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah, and it's not just for people who are turning to God for the very first time, you know, that we would call that conversion or, you know, like when we repent and take Christ, you know, as our Savior and Lord, receive him. That's when we come to faith for the first time. But this is all of us. All of us have sin in our lives. All of us need to regularly confess our sins before the Lord. 1 John 1 verse 9 is so good. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a promise for those who are following Jesus Christ. And so my admonition, my encouragement for anybody listening here today is wherever you are, no matter what you've done, come home to God. Whether this is for the first time or whether this is a return after many years of wandering, the Lord Jesus Christ will have you if you will just turn and come home.
Mm. No matter how far you've run from God, it's just one quick turn. Amen. And, you know, to help you navigate that journey home, we're offering Dr. Chuck Swindoll's book, The Grace Awakening. This resource is a powerful reminder that God's grace is truly unrelenting. So often we forget that we're saved by grace and we try to live by our own strength, but Dr. Swindoll calls us to reject that legalistic mindset. Discover the joy of a grace-filled life and learn to live in the freedom that only the gospel provides. It's the perfect companion for anyone who needs to be reminded that God never, ever gives up on those he loves. Now, beloved, this is the last week to get your copy of Grace Awakening for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, or maybe you want to get one for a friend or a family member, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can always write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you truly awaken to God's grace, you no longer have to hide. And next time, we'll talk about the spiritual discipline of confession and how coming clean is actually a path to staying free. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.